Hey everyone, welcome to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News and brought to you by the folks at IMC Concerts. Welcome everyone. Our guest today is Scott Godsey, a name that you may not be familiar with, but I can assure you, you know his work. Scott, welcome. We're glad that you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Well, let's bring everybody up to speed first thing. What does Scott Godsey do in the world of gospel music?
Well, it certainly depends on the day. I would like to say that each day is different, and that kind of keeps me interested and focused. So there's a lot of days I'm at Day One Records working with some of our artists there. I do the A&R position, so I listen to a whole lot of music, trying to find music for about 20 different artists in the business, and I consider them to be some of the best, and that's one of the most enjoyable things. And I happen to do some video stuff. I've had a video production company for about 10 years, and music videos, television shows, some syndicated shows, and I'm very passionate about anything visual, and then I might be in the studio one day, you know, doing something completely different, so it's a lot of fun.
Right. Now, one word that you used that I immediately locked onto was passionate, and not only are you passionate about the things that you're involved in, but you're very passionate about gospel music in general, and part of that is because you have literally grown up in the world of gospel music. Well, so fill everybody in on that very important aspect of from day one to now.
Absolutely. So I grew up in a singing family. They sang gospel music every weekend at churches or a church somewhere, it seemed. And you know, they had a tour bus and all of those kinds of fun things that come with a tour bus and a traveling singing family. At a very early age, I remember listening to records that my dad had and cassette tapes of artists like the Cathedrals and Gold City and the Neelands and so many others. And what I would do, I was about 4 years old, and I remember it just like it was yesterday. I had my G.I. Joes all lined up, and I had my blocks, and I would make a stage. And as I was listening to gospel music, I would have my G.I. Joes sing and portray all these people that I grew up listening to, like Gerald Wolfe, he'll really appreciate that, and Scott Fowler and Brian Free and Kelly Neeland. So I've always loved it. And all those people really have treated me so well, even when I was a kid and wasn't in the business at all, and just a kid at a concert. And I think that that's what kept me going back year after year, is how the interaction off the stage was with me as a kid, with some of these people that I consider to be icons and friends today.
Right, and now they all have your cell number.
Yes, they do.
because they know of the quality of work that you do in terms of video. You know, for example, if you do a quick search on YouTube or Google and look for videos, some of the ones that you've done recently include music by Brian Free and Assurance. Mark Lowry's has done a video with you. Michael English, Neyland's Griffith Family, a whole bunch, Karen Peck and New River. If it's a major artist, there is a good chance you have crossed paths with that group.
I'm very blessed. And that really stemmed from doing more syndicated television shows, which is a completely different process, but just kind of falling in love with the visual aspects and then understanding how important it is that people are consuming music through YouTube and so many other online platforms and then also TV, but connecting the music that I love with a visual element. And then that really kind of led us into more music videos or documentaries, anything visual. And that's how we kind of started a production company just out of sheer necessity.
And this is coming from a gentleman who was raised in Marion, Indiana, which was a hotbed of Southern gospel music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had like 10 Southern gospel radio stations there and weekly concerts here. No, I mean, none of that. We did have some radio stations there. But you know, it was always awesome because my parents took me to concerts from the time before I remember is what they tell me. Mm-hmm. And it made a lasting impression. It really did. To the point of, you know, I would take my toy guitar and be on the back row strumming along. And, you know, my mom was trying to keep me quiet from being a distraction kind of thing. So I've always just wanted to be a part of it.
Well, and that's what makes someone a lifer in the world of gospel music. It seems like that's the common thread. You started early and you were enthralled with the music, never really dreaming that you would be a part of it, or at least what you're doing now. Well, you know,
sure.
Maybe you started out thinking, well, I'd like to be a singer, which you've done, or a musician, whatever the case may be. But now you're in a position where you are, whether the intention is there or not, you are guiding the future of gospel music. So with that thought in mind, where do you see gospel music, and especially Southern gospel music, where do you see it in 5 or 10 years?
Well, I've actually not really thought about it in the way that you just said that. But to answer your question, in the next 5 or 10 years, I see a great opportunity in the church market. I really do. The music that is being put out by and large by the top level artists in what we call Southern gospel music, it impacts people's lives. And I think all that takes is getting in front of those people. And I really think that the church, the way that the church is currently, programming songs that I don't want to say are more traditional, but I think that there's more opportunity because of songs like Chainbreaker and other songs that are crossing over. And it's not because it's a CCM song or a Southern gospel song. It's because of the lyrical content and even the musical structure. And so I see this bridge coming closer together, closer than it's probably been, at least in the last 20 years, between what is happening in worship in a lot of churches. And then, of course, we still have great churches that support Southern gospel and always have. But I see us growing because of the people not only performing the music but writing the music, and I think that they're getting down to things and talking about things that really matter and people can hang their hat on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News and brought to you by the folks at IMC Concerts. And Scott, you are very familiar with the folks at IMC because a lot of the artists you work with happen to be a part of an event that IMC does every year. It's the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival, held every Labor Day weekend in the heart of Pennsylvania Amish country. That means good food. That's a translation for that. But anyway, this event is held at the American Music Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For more information and to purchase your tickets for the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival, visit GardenSpotPromotions.com, click on the festival link, or call 800-648-4102. And that is a message from the folks at IMC Concerts. Now, Scott, we're going to throw a couple names out at you. I want your first reaction to those names.
I'm excited and scared.
Well, you're not sweating yet.
Not yet. I hide it well.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Ed Leonard.
Consistent.
Okay. And by the way, Ed Leonard is the guy in charge over at Daywind Music Group, and he's responsible for a lot of the music that you hear on the radio today. So let's throw another name out
all
at
right.
you. How about the name? Oh, let's think of a really good one. Kelly Nealon.
Precious.
Okay. All right. Now, here's a blast from your past and my past. Dave Wilcox.
Friend. I mean, you couldn't ask for a guy. If he believed in you, he never stopped believing in you, stopped believing in yourself.
That's right. And you and I were talking about this earlier. We have something in common, that it was Dave Wilcox who brought us into the world of professional Southern gospel music. When I was living in Georgia as a DJ and doing some freelance radio promotion and everything, it was Dave who brought me to the Eddie Crook Company. In your case, it was Dave who literally brought you from Indiana to Nashville. In fact, you stayed a few months in his home.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Dave, I guess I'd still be in a cornfield somewhere up there. So I'm really thankful for him and his generosity, not only with the position, but opening up his home as I was selling my home in Indiana.
Right. You know, and Dave is no longer with us. He is. He's moved on to his eternal reward. His effects. I'm trying to think of the right word here. Help me out, engineer Troy Peach. You're supposed to be on top of these things with me. You know I can't talk, right? Anyway, but Dave has left a lasting impression on many of us in gospel music. And I told someone the other day, I think I've forgotten more than Dave, could ever teach me. And Dave was pretty sharp when it came to gospel music. Of course, you were also influenced greatly by your late father, Alan Godsey. And if your dad could see you right now, what do you think he would do? I know he was a big cheerleader of yours, and I know he's got to be very proud. So what kind of, I think what I'm trying to say is this. If you were to do something to honor your dad in the world of gospel music, what would that be?
Well, I try to honor him every day, whether that's visible or not. And, you know, the one thing I never had to worry about my dad is how he felt about me. And he was just always so encouraging and proud. And so to honor him, he did an event for 19 years called the Northern Gospel Singing Convention. And we changed that brand. It's in August. And we changed that brand to the Alan Gotzi Memorial. And we're still carrying the Northern Gospel Singing Convention. And his vision was he was a gospel singer, and that's kind of what he did most of his life. And he wanted to create an atmosphere that no matter what level you're at, if you've never sang one note before in front of an audience, or if you've done 10,000 concerts, you know, in your past, he wanted to create a platform and an environment where everybody felt welcome and had an opportunity. And he did that very well. And so we're planning on trying to continue that and for his legacy.
Yeah. I was looking the other day, ran across a video that you had done for Brian Free and Assurance. I want to be that man. And there's your dad, yeah. You know, a very prominent a role within that video, and I was thinking that's exactly what is going through the mind of Scott Godsey.
Well, let me tell you something about that because I think it'll be a very interesting story for these folks. So, in producing videos, a lot of times there's a storyline, and when you have storylines, you either have two options: you either call every friend and family member you know, or a friend and family member of the artist, and hope that they can act enough to kind of get through a story that you're trying to tell, or you hire actors or actresses, right? And so in this particular video, we had an actor confirmed for this particular role, being a father figure and a grandfather. So it was about 5 o'clock the day before we were shooting the video, and our first scene was at 8 o'clock in the morning the next day. And so I got a call from the agency, and the gentleman who was going to be playing the grandfather ended up in the hospital. And so he was canceling, and we didn't have anybody else. So in a panic mode, just like most kids do, I called my dad, and I was telling him all about it. And he said, "Well, son, what are you going to do? You have all this stuff going on." And I said, "Well, you know what? I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to figure it out. I guess I'll rewrite the story. I don't know." And I said, "What are you doing tomorrow, Dad?" And Dad lived 7 hours from Nashville. And he was like, "Well, I don't really have anything going on. I was going to mow the grass, you know, drink some tea. I don't know, you know." Mm-hmm. And so he got in his car at 5 o'clock, it was probably 6 o'clock by that point, and got into my house maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And what I didn't know about my father until that day is that he was actually a pretty good actor, and conveyed that very well. And it's one of the most treasured memories that I have at this point. And it just all happened by accident.
You know, sometimes the things that happen by accident are really not an accident.
That's right. Somebody had a plan. It just wasn't me.
Somebody had a plan. Exactly. Well, speaking of plans, what lies ahead for Scott Godsey?
Oh, gosh. You know, I just I want to keep doing things that I think glorify God first and foremost, but also just trying to, help this genre grow and get in front of more people, whether that's through singing news radio or a publication or a download or a stream, whatever we can do, whatever I can do to try to help get our music in front of more people and create the best music possible from a production standpoint, and making sure that the music is done in such a way that hopefully people can be touched and encouraged.
Well, you're on a great path to do all of that, and we appreciate you dropping by today. Our guest today has been Scott Godsey. You have been listening to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine. By the way, if you are not a subscriber to Singing News Magazine, we can take care of that with one simple phone call, 800-527-5226. Make sure you stick around. Another episode of Danny's Diary is on the way. Special thanks to engineer Troy Peach and Eli Fortner for the music. We'll see you next time.